Okay, good morning, everyone. We are going to be learning today five ideas on the Haggadah, on the Pesach Seder. For me, five ideas that inspire me. Number one, for the Seder this year. And number two, ideas that some of them really I felt connected to my grandmother. It's the first Yahrzeit today. For me and Yahrzeits and Beth personally, for me, this is unique. I grew up, you know, knowing that my father always went to Yisker. I grew up named after my paternal grandfather. Never met him. Avram Eliezer, Alvin was his name. So I just knew that in the background, but never really experienced a personal loss in my life. There was loss in the family, in the backdrop, in the background, but it was never there. Last year, we lost my grandmother. Today, Vav Nisan. I actually made a mistake. I owe an apology. My mother's online right of her family, but it's Vav Nisan. And right before Pesach last year, complications. And but Baruch Hashem, she lived a very, very amazing life of resilience and of strength, and is a source of strength, continues to be, for our entire family. She was a survivor of the Holocaust. She survived at a very young age. Her family fled from a very small town in Poland named Tarnogród. Tarnogród was also the name of the same town that Mrs. Schicker, who lives in, right? Mrs. Schicker, she's living well, grew up in. They didn't know each other, it was tiny. It was a tiny town, to the extent that my grandmother would say they had to go to bigger towns to like get basic supplies. The town she would always talk about was Bilgaray. And I mentioned to Mr. Schicker, she said, "Oh, Bilgaray, yeah, that's where we got it." And when the Nazis, the Nazis came in, they fled and really stayed in Siberia for most of the time, and allowed them, in very difficult circumstances, live there for a large part of the Holocaust, and eventually came over. And she didn't really talk about it too much. Wasn't like something that she spoke about. She's really, her emphasis and her focus in her life was really not in the past at all. It really was on the future. She continued to maintain relationships with all her second, third, and fourth cousins throughout her life. But really her emphasis was on, you know, she eventually met my grandfather and they met at a dance. It's a beautiful story, not for now. And they built a beautiful life together, and we are all really, really lucky and privileged to have been part of her life. Okay, so with that in mind, I want to begin with Kadesh. There are two Haggadahs that I went through this year that I want to just give shout-outs to. One is called the Chinuch Haggadah. The Chinuch Haggadah is written by Rav Yaakov Bender. He wrote Shiva in Far Rockaway. It's a really... If you want to get a great Haggadah with excellent stories, it's awesome. Really, really good material in there. Then, if you've been listening to the Parsha Shiur, you've been here, who can guess the other Haggadah that I followed through, that I went through? Who's the author of the Haggadah? Rav Druk is the author, Rav Yisrael Meir Druk, who we've quoting almost every single Thursday morning for the Parsha Shiur. He came out with Haggadah a few years ago, and I have not been able to get my hands on it. It's very difficult to get. The Art Scroll translated it, most of it, not the whole thing, into English. And I have to thank Yitzi Lowy, who owns his farm store in Baltimore, for getting it for me. Was that a little bit complicated? So some of the ideas are from both of those Haggadahs this year. So Rav Bender begins Kadesh with the following. Just picture yourself, you're at the Seder. You know, Baruch Hashem, I hope that our Sedarim this year are a little bit bigger than the previous years. Baruch Hashem, right? We're getting back into that, what a Pesach Seder should really look like. And you're sitting around the table and it's pristine, it's beautiful. This year, Friday night, it's Motzei Shabbos. Everything is just right, right? You're just standing there. It's probably not just right. There's probably a kid in the background crying, and someone needing something, and someone hungry, and we all know that it's when we say perfection, there is no concept of perfection. It's as good as it should be, and everyone's where they should be. And he says that at that moment, right before you pick up your Kiddush cup and you say Kadesh, you should take a moment to contemplate the role of the quiet hero of Leil HaSeder. He says, the mother. Darish Ravavia, Ravavia says in the Gemara, Biskos Nashim Tikanio Shahayu, the Oso Hador, in the honor of the holy and Halaga righteous women of that generation, Nigalu Avosenu Mimisrayim, the Jewish people were redeemed from Egypt. In the merit of the righteous women of that generation, we were redeemed from Egypt. That's how we got here, right? Over the course of the Seder, we will talk about her role in the chinuch of the children. V'she'enu de'alishol at petachlo, right? At petachlo. Fascinating. We have four children, right? Chacham, Rasha, Tam, enu de'alishol. And by the Tam, it's all it says is at petachlo. At is feminine. Like she, like you, as in she, should open up for her. And he says it's really the mother's intuition, it's the mother's patience, and the mother's unconditional love that can reach the heart of any child. Towards the end of a Seder, we recite Hallel and we refer to Hashem's greatness. And what do we conclude the first paragraph with? Aim Habanim Smecha, a happy mother of her children, right? That's the way we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These words point to the essence of motherhood. Happiness is the means with which the mother will raise these children. Paro was well aware of the role of Jewish mother. When Moshe Rabbeinu asked for permission to go worship in the wilderness, Paro said, fine, the men can go, and that's it. And Moshe stood his ground, and he said, no, it's not just the men, but we need the men, the women, and the children. Everybody must go together. So he says, and I suggest everybody do this, before you begin the Seder, let your mind roam through the immaculate home in which you are standing, the rooms that sparkle and gleam, the drawers and closets that have been made ready for this yontif, and the ones who did the hard work. And that is the way to enter into the Seder for 5782. They continue this idea of at petachlo. I'm very careful with, usually at our Seder, it's hard to remember from 3 years ago, but I'm getting questions this year that people are like, I thought I know the answer, but I totally forgot. I ask it every year because, again, we're going back. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. And, yeah. Okay. Mandy is asking a great question. When it comes to matzah, we have a matzah with a bracha on the bread, which is matzah for Pesach. And then we have a special mitzvah on the bracha that we make on the mitzvah of eating matzah. Why is there no special mitzvah, such a bracha, on the Dalei Kosos? Good. Rav Chaim Kanievsky deals with that question. We'll get to it soon. Okay? So now you have the four sons. So when we go around the Pesach Seder, we usually have everybody reads together, but you have one person, we get one person reading out loud. So I'm okay saying, you read Maisa Berber Lazar, you read, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, you know, getting the white hair. You'll go to the next paragraph, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, you start Vihisha Amda, that's fine. When I get to the children, right, Chacham, Rasha, Tam, Einu De'Elishol, I'm very careful. I say, who wants to read, right? Who would like to read Chacham, Rasha? God forbid someone should think I'm labeling them in a certain way, right? And, you know, then I'm going to be paying for the therapy down the line. I want to be careful. So, and the truth is, the Kedusha Slavi writes that all four aspects, all four children really are inside of all of us. We all have all these aspects. There's a Russia side of us. There's a critical, cynical, angry aspect that we have inside of us that we have to work on. We have to own up to, we have to access, and we have to then, you know, filter it out and work on that. We have the Chacham, we have the things that we don't know, we know nothing about, and we're clueless about, and we have to learn more about, and we have things that we're just calm or simple about. Atatachlo, continuing on in Rabbi Bender's Haggadah, he says something really, really, really beautiful. Atatachlo, open up for him. Pesach, it means to open up doors and pathways, because no child who is, because there is no child who is worthless, incompetent, or incapable. And children who have learning difficulties, right, I will say, struggle a lot at the Seder. Because if we're focused only on the reading and only on the Kriya, whether it's in English or in Hebrew, and only on the Divrei Torah that you prepared or didn't prepare, then the children that can't access that part, don't have those kelim, feel completely disenfranchised at the Seder. And if we're building up the Seder to be something that is so important for the chinuch and the Mesorah and to be part of the family in Klal Yisrael, and if they can't read, then how? What are we saying? So we have to think very, very creatively, not to box them out of this very, very important night, and really be out of the box.
Rabbi.
Yeah, 1 second. Let me just continue the paragraph. He or she is like a locked box waiting to be opened. Pesach is an opening. All that's needed is someone who has the right key. And he said, I once heard a respected contemporary educator refer to a child as a zero. Okay, that child, that Rebbe should be reprimanded. By the way, Zero Mostel, famous comedian. You know why he was called Zero? Why his nickname was Zero? That's what his father called him. That's what his father called him. So he became a zero. He became what his parents referred to him as. There is no such a thing. And to say something like that is the ultimate lie. Locked, perhaps, but not empty. Right? Our job is at petachlo. And we're going to argue, just like we said earlier, that it's really the mother or the feminine side of us that really has that ability to open us up and open up the children to find ways, doorways, and pathways, each of them, right? Find the keys that can unlock them. It's maybe running a skit, running a game at the Seder, creating a competition at the Seder. There are different ways to have them, you know, take care of us and have them feel like they're part of it. Rameir Shapiro was waiting for a train in Warsaw when a young distinguished-looking man approached him. He introduced himself as a son-in-law of the Shatzer Rebbe, who doesn't eat Shatzer Matzah, right? Who was an early Rebbe, a mentor to Reb Meir, a child of the town of Shatz. Reb Meir grew up in Shatz, and he used to play with the kids. So this was a son-in-law of the Rebbe Shatz. He was married to the daughter of Shatz, where Reb Meir grew up. Reb Meir greeted him and said, "Is your Rebbe's in here?" Right, they grew up in the same town. The young man replied, "Yeah, she's right there." He said, "Can I bring her over? I want to talk to her for a moment." The Shatzer Rebbe's daughter came forward, and Lublina Ruff, the Rosh Yeshiva, spoke to her. And he said to her the following. This is Rameir Shapiro, who was a member of the parliament, the Bund, in wherever he lived, wherever Lublin was, and was the Ruff of the town, was the head of Yeshiva Chachmei Lublin, the first yeshiva ever. Was unique about Chachmei Lublin? First yeshiva ever to have indoor plumbing. Amazing. You had to know 250 Daf Gemara by heart to get into that yeshiva. And so he was pretty, you know, respected rabbi. And he said to this woman, "Do you remember when I was a child, I would come into your house to learn with your father?" She said, "Yeah." And sometimes we would all play together, right? These are two great people meeting many years later. And we talked about different things. And you remember that once I mentioned the idea, that had an idea that all the Yidden in the world, that all the Jews in the world should be learning the same Daf of Gemara, Reir Shapiro created Daf Yomi, that we all should be learning the same Daf of Gemara all together. And when you know what your response was, not yours, but your brother's response was, to me, they laughed at me. And I would come back each and every day sharing this dream that I had, that all of the Jewish people would be on the same page. And you laughed at me. She said, "You're just a child. I understand. We were all kids. that I'm telling you to tell your children, never laugh at the dream of a child. And that is so important, is to try to elevate and find places. Usually the places where they struggle are the places that we specifically can find strength for them to open up. Ptachlo, find the pathways for each of our children, especially at the Pesach Seder. One second. Nathan, you had a question?
Yes, Rabbi. I agree with you that every child has potential. So why then does the Haggadah say blunt is key?
Blunt is key. Good. We'll deal with that on Monday. It's a great question. Hake Yashina. It's a great question. Yeah, Mendy.
I don't think it's so much to put down Haggadah. I think that most speak, not everybody, have the mentality that it was such a good idea.
Okay. Right. So Mendy's saying most people see an idea and they say it should have been done already. It's not done yet. Yeah. So you're defending them, and I hear that. I hear that 100%. What?
They could have been put down.
Yeah.
By others.
100%. Yeah. Don't put people down. 100%. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. The next idea that we have. So we had one from Kadesh about the women that moved us into At Ptachlo from the children. I'm going to share two ideas from the Ka'ara. Last week, Sarah and I, along with my cousin Rabbi Hess in East Brunswick, brought our kids to bake matzahs in the Shatzer Matzah Bakery. Sarah's grandfather is a grandson of the Shatzer Rav from Shatz. And so he gets time every year to bake the matzahs. It's a very special opportunity. We haven't done it in 3 years. Fortunately, he did not come with us. And after we went to a cousin. We did a family tour. And we went to the Brishtina Rebbe. Brishtina Rebbe with David Eichelstein is also Mishpacha. And I davened by him on Yom Kippur. I've been to some of his tishes. Maybe we'll go on Lag BaOmer. We'll have a trip there. He has a beautiful tish on Lag BaOmer. And he's a very down to earth Rebbe in Borough Park. And we asked him, what's your Seder look like? So thankfully, you know, Baruch Hashem has 13 kids. Not so easy. So he said, like, how do you do it? And he said that before the Seder even begins, before they sing the Simanim, he spends an hour. Children and grandchildren explaining each part of the Ka'ara. And I'm like, everybody says quietly? So the Rebbe is also at the table, and she says, yeah, because I bribed them with toys. She goes, I have an account at the toy store at Borough Park, and that's how everyone's quiet for so long. So, but it's amazing, right, that. And he speaks about Kabbalah and the deeper meaning behind all the aspects and what you're doing. It happens to be, I was looking at Reb Chaim Kanievsky. It's like the opposite extreme. Reb Chaim Kanievsky's Haggadah, Zatzal, and Reb Chaim writes that he was never makbid on where exactly the things go. On, okay, the Zerol goes here, the Beitzim go there, the Karpas. It didn't matter to him. It just needed to be on the Kara. It was a minhag to have them on the Kara, period. Api Kabbalah, deeper. There's a lot of meaning there. Refine wasn't into that. It wasn't, I don't think it didn't mean he didn't learn Kabbalah, but it wasn't practically, it needed to be down. So it was amazing. It's actually safer that the Brishtina Rebbe, they wrote, explaining all of his Kavanos that he has. So I want to share two thoughts, one about the Beitza and one about the Zroa. Both are from Rav Druk's Haggadah. So he writes here, HaChasim Sofer. The Chasim Sofer explains why do we have a Beitza at the Leil HaSeder. It's not everybody's minhag, right? It's definitely on the Pesach. It's on the Ka'ara. Some people eat it and some people don't. right? It's both minhagim are totally fine. So he says, what does this beitza represent? So he writes, Yisrael nimshal beitza. The Jewish people are compared to an egg. Ma beitza kichol shema mevashlim osa kach nasis kasha yoser. Kein am Yisrael kichol shema anin oso. Kein yarbe vekein yifros. An egg is unique. If you take a piece of chicken and you cook it in the oven, the more you cook it, eventually it will turn to ash, right? It will soften, right? An egg is unique. The more you cook the egg, the harder it gets. The more suffering, unfortunately, lo aleinu, the Jewish people go through, the more resilient we become. And ken yarbe v'chen yifrums. The more the Jewish people were in Mitzrayim, what we had more children. We multiplied in the land of Egypt, right? Not that we're asking for the suffering and the servitude, but there's a sense of resilience, right, that the Jewish people have. It's part of our DNA. I definitely think of that idea. We had a family meal last night, and I spoke about this idea with my grandmother, about resilience. You look at the egg, and that's what it represents. It represents resilience, that we've been here. V'hish amda, you know, we hold up the wine. The egg represents that aspect of resilience. Continues Rav Leib Eger. Rav Leib Eger was a Hasidish Rebbe in Eastern Europe in the late 1800s, a son of Rabbi Akiva Eger. Rabbi Akiva Eger was of the Litvish, right? Completely of that Mesorah. His son diverted, and his son became a Hasidish Rebbe, right? Completely different than his father. And Rav Leib Eger, he has a thing to say for called Torah's MS. He writes an Inyan Nosaf, an additional idea about the egg. He says, the Gemara tells us, Shekol Beitza Shenoda Hayom, Behechrach Shekvar Etmol Nigmara. The halacha is, right, what came first, the chicken or the egg? The halacha is, if an egg came out of the chicken today, right, is it muksa on Yantif? It's a big discussion in the Gemara and Beitza. And we assume, the Gemara assumes, that really it was fashioned the day before. It was fashioned the day before inside the chicken, apialacha, and it comes out the day after. It was already prepared before it came out. He says the message of the egg is the message that we all need to prepare. A lot of life, I quoted this idea the other night that Rabbi Jonas and Sachs from Passaic Landers explained, is from the Ramban, that almost all of life, right? Think about the mitzvah that we do. The mitzvah of matzah, how many minutes does the mitzvah matzah take up? So cooking the matzah, but that's all a hechsher mitzvah. That's preparatory. The mitzvah is to eat the matzah. They start baking the matzah at Hanukkah time, right? And there's so much prep. The mitzvah takes a moment, a minute, right? Pesach, we go crazy for 30 days. Okay, it's 7 days, right? The prep is so much longer, and the kedusha comes from the preparation. So the second message about the egg is that it's the preparation itself. The preparation itself. My mother is here. She's listening. And this also reminds me of grandma, with how much time she spent prepping everything in the kitchen, whether it's in Canarsie or later on in the, you know, other apartments that she lived in. But always preparing for the next. She lived a life of preparation. That is the idea about the beitza. Continuing on to the zroa. By the way, divrei Torah are not only relegated for the Pesach Seder. You can use these divrei Torah, or any other divrei Torah, for the other meals. It's a big secret, right? There's a lot of meals to be had over Yantif, right? So I happen to not love, like, when the kids bring out all the pre-prepared divrei Torah, I prefer to use those for the meals, not for the Seder, because it's not spontaneous and not everyone may have, right? And it's less organic, but those are great for the other meals of Yontif, or to go over on the couch, which each one of the kids, or the table separately, because you want to see the pictures and everything, the drawings that they did, and you don't have that time over at the Seder to really do that. We also have games, if you want to have games, because it gets to be a lot of meals, so we play taboo, whatever, okay. V'nagu likach zroa remez u'bizroa netuya. So we take a zroa, so many say it's a reference to the Korban Pesach. The Torah writes, it's a reference to zroa netuya, that God took us out with an outstretched hand. Listen to this. This one I never heard before. This is fascinating from Rav Druk. He's in America. We have to bring him in. Okay, I have to work on that. So Rav Druk says that when is the first time we saw a zroa netuya in the Torah? An outstretched hand. God doesn't have a physical hand to outstretch his hand. It's, you know, symbolic. When do we see an outstretched hand in the Torah?
At the Yom Tov?
An individual. We have an outstretched hand. I'm reaching for an apple. Okay. For fruit.
Basia? Basia? Obitia?
Yeah, that's Sharon. Who is that?
Yeah, it's from Sharon. But if it's from David, he's the one who said it.
Okay, thank you, Sharon and David. See, the yes. So, one second. Noah. Where's Noah? Okay. So, he says it is Batya, or really correctly, Bitya. Chazal say she stretched out her hand to take the crying baby out, you know, from the basket. And from this, again, it's a discussion with Gemara. Did her Gemara says a miracle happened, and her hand, like Fantastic Four, went out and out and out and stretched out and miraculously saved Moshe Rabbeinu. But it all started from the fact that she tried to stretch out her arm. You see, sometimes we see things that are out of our reach. And we say, well, I can't do it. So why should I even try? What I'm going to do doesn't matter. I shouldn't even do anything. So Bitya accessed a part of herself that she didn't know she had. So she saw a child that was suffering. She saw a child that was in tremendous amount of pain. So she said, there's only one thing I can do. I could just try to stretch out my arm. And you see from there, something very, very important in our lives is sometimes when we just try, Hashem fills in the rest. He takes care of the rest. He takes an amata, just an arm, and he changed it into a zroa netuya. He outstretches the arm for you. And whether you say this is literal, you know, it's figurative, and it's literal that it really stretched out, or it's figurative, the message is the same, because she did something that nobody else was doing. There were so many crying babies that were thrown into the water, and there was only one person that was willing to stand up, and it was Paro's daughter. And this teaches us a very, very important lesson about our own lives, is that there are so many things that we see that may be very far away from us. So we just turn our eyes to it because we say there's nothing we can do to help. And maybe our job is to just put out our arms, to stretch out his roa, and to do whatever we can do in our own small way. He writes, what's fascinating is, if you flip around the letters of zroa, what word do you get? Ozer. Ozer. Ozer is a helper. Right, and ultimately, through her outstretched arm, we became a nation. Moshe Rabbeinu was saved. When you're saving, you never know who you're going to save. And it ended up being that this was the Moshiach Shel Yisrael.
So Moshe was saved by
Moshe was saved by, but yeah, Chazal do say, the Gemara Sota writes that Bitya was. Of course. There are plenty of them. There are plenty of good men. I don't think it matters. I think it matters whether the discussion is, I've been asked to repeat questions for our listeners at home. The question is, we see there are plenty of good non-Jews, right? We have the, in what's it called? What's the Holocaust memorial in Israel? Yav Hashem, there's a Chassidei Umos HaOlam section. I think it's important upon us. We live in a very unique community where we live very much, amongst, with all the residents of Ireland all together. And you see someone on Shabbos morning or during the week, say hello, say good morning, Shalom Aleichem. If you say good Shabbos, I think they'll say good Shabbos back because most are. But I think it's very, very important. Okay. The fifth idea for today, right? We began with Ad Petachlo. We had Kadesh, the power of the women, the importance of the quiet hero at the Haggadah. That was Rabbi Bender's language. We had Karpas. No, we had Zroa and Beitza. Karpas is for Monday. And one last idea about the Dal of Kosos. And from Rav Chaim Kanievsky's Haggadah. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky's Haggadah was written a few years ago. Fascinating story behind the Haggadah. There are many interviews and writing that took place after he passed away. And somebody who's interviewed is Rabbi Groucher. Rabbi Groucher, Rabbi Shai Groucher, I don't know who he is. I never met him. He's a nice person. He translated a lot of Rav Chaim's works into English for Art Scroll. And he was asked, how'd you get into this? How'd you get access to Rav Chaim? It's not easy to get into his inner circle. He said that 18 years ago, he was somewhat unaffiliated, disconnected from Judaism. He said he hadn't opened a Gemara in over 10 years. And he went to go visit Rav Chaim with his father and with a group of people. They were in Israel and they said, let's go visit. And Rav Chaim said to him, you need to start writing. At that point, he wasn't sure what he was doing with his life. He had no direction. He said, you have to start writing. He goes, I'm not a writer. What are you talking about? He goes, no, you have to open it, start learning, and you have to start writing down your learning. So he left, and it bothered him. Why would Rav Chaim say this to me? This rabbi obviously knows a lot more than I do about myself, but I don't understand this. So he went back. I don't remember how long later, but he went back, and he's like, if you say I need to start learning, I need to start writing, so I want to learn with you. So I think they had some time, whatever, maybe part of a group. And then he said, we need to start sharing your works with the world. And he translated other things for Art Square also, not only this, some works from the world ago. And he became one of the translators of Rav Chaim's works into English, which are amazing. They're very, very great. So Rav Chaim writes here that we have the Dal Kosos. The Dal Kosos Shel Geula. Oh man, I didn't make a copy of that page. We'll do that for next time. Why no bracha on the Dal Kosos? It was part of this. I didn't put it in. So he says there are four expressions. There are many reasons given, but one of the main reasons why we have four cups of wine is that in the beginning of Parshas Va'era, when Hashem tells Moshe to tell the Jewish people that we're going to leave Egypt, he says there are four expressions of Geula. Votseti, Vitzalti, Vigaalti, Vilakachri. And he says here that these are four stages of redemption. There are four stages. He says stage number one is the following. Votseti Eschem, Mitacha, Sivlos, Mitzrayim, that I shall take you out from the burdens of Egypt. That after the first five plagues, Chazal say, the Jewish people were able to cease from their avoda, from their work. They were still slaves and did not yet leave Egypt, right? But at this point, the slave labor aspect was finished. They were working a regular 9-to-5 job. They're still working, but it wasn't in excess. That's for hotzeiti. The tzalti means that during the plague of the firstborn, power announced to the Jews that they're free to leave Egypt, and their service to Egyptians were then officially ended. Right? So stage two, you can leave. You no longer work for us. You're now not slaves to power. Step three is Ga'alti Eschem Bizro Netuya U'Beshvatim Gidolim. This is, what's Ge'ula? Like, this is an important question. Like, what is Ge'ula? What's redemption? Are we living in redemption now? We're going to talk about this at the Shabbos Gadol Drash a little bit. Like, what is redemption? Is redemption an absence of slavery? Is redemption, you know, something different? What is it? So he says the redemption here was the fact that we were able to walk out of Mitzrayim and the Egyptians could do nothing. They were just watching. That ability to just walk out was something that we needed emotionally. We needed that. And we experienced that. And that helped the Jewish people. And that was Geula. And the fourth level, Lakachti Eschem Lila'am, Hashem gave the Jews the Torah. And that's when we became Avdei Hashem. Right? We were no longer servants of Paro. There was a middle state where we were servants to no one, so to speak. And then 50 days after leaving Egypt, we became servants of Hashem. So those are, according to Rav Chaim, there are many interpretations and understandings of what the four levels were. This is Rav Chaim's interpretation. And then he goes on to explain one extra note. Maybe many of you have this minhag. Maybe many of you will start this year. It's a nice minhag. Nobody pours the wine for themselves. Nobody pours the wine for themselves. It comes in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, right? So it's not like, No, it's Shulchan Aruch. On the night of Pesach, you should not. Why? It's a sign of freedom and nobility. It's a sign of cheras, that kings, presidents, probably, they don't pour for themselves. Somebody pours for them. That is, it's not about me. It's about the position that I'm in. So for all kings and queens, then I had the Seder, Pasnish, that I pour for myself. Someone else will pour for me, and I pour for them, right? And I pour for them. So where does this come from? So he quotes it's a great source. Where does it come from? So Chazal say that when Yitzchak was giving the brachos to Yaakov and Esav, Yitzchak asked Esav for it initially, and Yaakov brought it. He asked him for what? Two goats. Why? Leha Seder. Right? Rashi writes it on the spot. It was Leha Seder. So already in the air, pre-leaving Egypt, pre-servitude, there was already an Indian to celebrate Pesach. Why two goats? Korban Pesach and the Korban Chagiga. What's the Korban Chagig? What's the purpose of it? Just it's important to note. Everybody must eat a kazayas, at least, from the Korban Pesach to be yotzir mitzvah. So you're limited in terms of how many people you have. You couldn't have 100 people because a goat, a lamb, a goat, didn't have 100 kazayasim on. I don't think it did. You did? It would? Oh, maybe I'm wrong. Okay, good. Thank you. Maybe it would. Okay, fine. But if that's all you're eating, come on, Jewish mother's going to make you're going to have a kazayas each, and that's it. What other flesh are you going to have at the table? Okay, so you can buy from the store. Wonderful. Make it a korban. So you bring a korban chayiga. So families usually had two korbanos. They had the korban pesach, which you had mitzvah d'oraisa, you had to eat at Leil HaSeder. And then you brought a korban chayiga also because you had to have more food. Everyone had to eat. So that you didn't have a specific amount you had to eat for. But you had that and you served it at the table. Again, it became no sar the next day. But there's actually one if Pesach falls out on Motzei Shabbos, you couldn't bring a Korban Chagiga. Because now you couldn't bring a Korban Chagiga on Shabbos. You could bring a Korban Pesach on Shabbos, not a Chagiga. That's maybe a difference for the second Seder. Talk about that a different time, why the second Seder might be different than the first this year. There would be no Korban Chagiga. So he brought in two Korbanos. And now, listen to the Pasuk. Rav Chaim says that Yaakov served Yitzchak, and he says, Vayigashlo, I served him. He brought him the Korbanos. Vayocha, Vayavelo, Yayin, Vayesht. And he served him food and wine. Yaakov poured the wine for Yitzchak. Right? So Rav Chaim sees from there that the Torah is stressing this point. Meaning, the Torah didn't need to tell us this. We didn't know beforehand that Yaakov would presumably serve his father. Like, it wasn't only Esav that was a paramount to Kibud Av aim. Yaakov also probably has a Kibud Av also, and he would serve him too. But the Torah goes out of its way to stress this point. Highlight for us, this is what we do on Pesach Seder. We pour for each other. Mendy doesn't like it. Okay.
No. I can say that Mendy says it that way.
So you wanted to do it like Big Day Esav. Okay, so what I'll say like this then. I'll even add to this. Thank you, Mendy. Because Yaakov was pretending to be Esav. So it was really Esav doing this. So even if we don't feel, we feel like it's beneath us to pour for the person next to us. So pretend like you're somebody else at the Seder and pour anyway. And pour anyway. That's Chaim sees that in the Torah. So we shared five thoughts about the Pesach Seder. We began with the hero of the Seder, the woman, and so many elements come up in the miracle, the salvation of Klal Yisrael came from the Nashim Sitanios. We continued on to At Petach Lo, open up doorways and pathways to all of the children at the Seder. We discussed two beautiful ideas from Druk about the Beitza. And one idea about the Zeruah Netuya, amazing connection to Batya Bas Paro. And we concluded with two ideas from Rav Chaim Kanievsky regarding the Dalet Kosos and the minhag of pouring the wine. The Neshama Mal Malka Bas Shaima should have an Aliyah today and always. And we should wish everybody a great Shabbos. Be back on Monday for continuation of the Shir. Kol Tov.